Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 144. Psalm 144 and verse 15. Psalm 144 and verse 15. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And our subject this morning is the happiness of the Lord's people. Well, this is a great and tremendous theme for us to consider on the first Lord's Day of the new year. And what a resolution that can be for us this year, to be happy people, to be happy Christian people, to be happy, to be here every week, not simply coming here out of routine or duty, but to be happy to be here, to be happy to fellowship with one another, to be happy to serve God. We as Christian people, we so often forget that we are meant to be happy people. So God willing, in this brief time before us this morning, we will be reminded of these things and emerge from this place rejoicing in our God. Well, these words are the words of the psalmist David, and well, we're all very much aware of David, the great poet king, writer of so many of the psalms under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course. And David is the instrument by which God has used to pen these things. Now, we're not sure at which point exactly in the life of David he writes this psalm, but it is most likely a time of conflict and of war. We get that from the first verse when he writes, "Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." This is a fighting language, if we can put it in that way. And it seems that in this time of conflict, well, just as in any time of conflict, physical or spiritual, David has to call upon God. And that is what he does, well, in verse 2 of this tremendous psalm. "My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." He's calling upon God in time of difficulty. And verse 7, "Send thine hand from above, rid me and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of strange children." There are no doubt enemies ranked against David and against Israel. And he's pleading to God to deliver Israel from their enemies. But then towards the end of the psalm, well, then he anticipates the great peace that will come and the great victory that will come if the people earnestly call upon God. Verse 12, "That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace." If God grants the victory, well, then the rising generation will be blessed, their sons and daughters. And verse 13, "That our garners may be full, our barns affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets." There'll be great prosperity. There'll be no lack if a nation obeys God. Verse 14, "That our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets." This is what happens when we obey God. We are a blessed people, a contented people. This is the conclusion that David is making. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. That which is certain to make a nation happy and blessed is to acknowledge God and to obey him and to obey his laws. Any nation will be blessed if they do these things. But sadly, of course, so many nations don't. And well, we have to think of our own nation, particularly at the start of a new year. Can we say honestly that this nation is a happy and a blessed nation? Of course we can't. There's so much uncertainty at the beginning of this new year concerning this nation. So much political turmoil, so much social unease, so much division. The rising generation of this nation, they're not blessed, they're not happy. There's so much frustration, they're so disaffected, they're so distressed and confused. This is not a blessed nation. Why? Because they've rejected God. Because the Lord is not their God anymore. They've rejected the Bible, they've rejected His word, and this is what we get. Not a blessed, not a happy nation. People in this country, and I've said this many times, they live for other things. They've erected other gods. Everybody has a god in their life. Every single person has a god in their life. And what I mean by that is everybody has something that they build their lives around, that they live for, something that they devote all their time and their energy to. Everyone has a god. For some people, it's their careers. For some people, it's their studies. Some people make idols out of celebrities, film stars, pop stars, sports teams, and so on. Some people make gods out of ideas, out of concepts, political ideas. For some people, capitalism is a god, is a religion. Or socialism is their religion. Or feminism is a religion. Even atheism is a religion, because they live their lives according to the beliefs of atheism. That's the religion they follow. They say to you, oh, we don't believe in God. But their God is atheism, and they will live according to what atheism believes. Every single person has a God. But you can't find true happiness in any of those things. You can't be blessed if you seek happiness in those gods, because it's only if you make the Lord your God that you can find happiness. He's the only true God. He's the only one that you ought to be making your God. In the very next psalm, in Psalm 145, you don't have to turn to it, but verse 3, David says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He's saying you shouldn't be worshipping anything else. God is the Lord. He is greatly to be praised. He is your creator. He is the one who has given you life. He is the one who sustains your life. There's nobody else on earth who sustains your life. No film star or pop star sustains your life. It's only God. He is worthy of your praise. You ought to be worshipping Him. He is almighty. He is all-powerful. Well, we read earlier in this psalm that, well, when He touches the mountains, they shall smoke. That's what David says. Come down and touch the mountains, they shall smoke, because he knows that God is a consuming fire. Almighty, all-powerful, so glorious is He. He is the only one who is worthy of our praise and our time and our energy. Nothing else is worthy of it. Absolutely nothing else. And yet so many people, they spend so much time and energy worshipping things that are not worthy to be worshipped. I remember, well, I had a job. It's about 10 years ago now. And I was working for a magazine. It was a parenting magazine. And it was, well, it was a decent job. But this magazine, it was treated by the staff and particularly by the editor as though it was some kind of sacred text. This magazine, this parenting magazine, it was treated as though it was Well, every word had to be checked and double-checked and thrice-checked and factually checked. And we had to work every hour. Didn't matter how late we were in the office, till 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, till midnight. The magazine had to take charge of everything. We had to humble ourselves before this magazine. We must serve this magazine. And well, we did our job, but it wasn't worth it at all. All that time and energy for a magazine. Some of the articles were so trivial. They were so light. They were so easily outdated. They'd be out of date within a week. And indeed, well, this magazine doesn't even exist anymore. And nobody's ever heard of it, so I won't tell you the name of it. But all that time and energy and all those hours for something that wasn't worth it at all. But that's what happens when you don't have God in your life. You end up serving something else that is not worthy of your time and of your energy. It's not worthy at all. Only God is worthy of your devotion. And only true happiness can be found in following Him. And that is what we must do, dear friends. This is the exhortation this new year. You must follow God. You must follow His way. That is the way to happiness. Again, the world will say the opposite. For the world, for the unbeliever, they will say no. Happiness is going your own way. That's what being happy is. You go your own way. You do what you want, whenever you want to do it. That's what makes you happy. That's what the worldling will say. That is the way to perfect contentment. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that is not the way to happiness. If you want happiness, you have to give up your own way. You have to forsake your own way. Give up your own ambitions and your own aspirations. You have to repent and follow the Lord's way. That's the way to happiness. God is the source of all happiness. Do you understand that? The only reason that there is happiness and joy in this world is because of God. It's not because of man. It's not a man-made thing. All the joy that you've had in your life has not been given to you by man. It's God. Joy and happiness is God's creation, God's gift to this creation. So if you walk in His ways, you are walking toward happiness, pure happiness, true happiness. And yet you find some people who are so afraid of giving up their way to follow the Lord, people who are so afraid of repentance. Don't be afraid, dear friends. Well, in the Gospels, we read that one of the disciples, Simon Peter, he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee." That's what Peter said. We've given up everything and followed thee. And remember what the Lord said to him, "Everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold, shall receive 100 times what they left behind." There's no regret in repentance. "They shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." Everlasting life. You see, that's what you get when you repent. You have everlasting life. You have eternal joys. This is a tremendous thing that people don't seem to understand. The happiness that God brings is eternal. It's everlasting. The happiness that we have in this world, it's so short-lived. It's so fleeting. Yes, you can have some happiness in this world. You can have some good nights out, perhaps. You can have some laughs. You can have some nice holidays. You can have nice Christmases. But they're so short-lived. How quickly has Christmas passed? Just in the last few days, you see all those Christmas trees out on the streets. Christmas, how long did it last? Just one day, just went like that. And everyone worships Christmas. We're going to have such a laugh. It's so short-lived. It's gone. But that is what the world's pleasures are like. So temporary, so fleeting. But God's pleasures, well, they are everlasting joys. Everlasting joys. We must look to Him. Our joys in this life without God, they're so fleeting. And let me add that they can so easily be taken away from us. So easily. Some people, they put their happiness, all their happiness, in other people. They put their happiness in their friends. They put their happiness in their families, in their loved ones. But you know, our loved ones, those who are nearest and dearest to us, they can so easily be taken from us. Very quickly be taken from us. And then what happens? Then people are crushed and they're crumbled. Their happiness is gone with that person. We never know how long we have left. We never know how long any of us will live. If you put all your happiness in people, well, so easily they can be gone. Then what are you going to do? If they're all you have, well, your happiness is gone with them. But if you have God, if you have Christ, your happiness still remains. I've known people even recently. They've lost loved ones, Christian people. They've lost loved ones, husbands who've lost their wives. And yes, they grieve. But you know, you speak to them and they tell you, but my joy hasn't left me. My happiness hasn't left me. Because they have that joy that comes from on high, that joy that is within them. Christian joy is within us. It's not outside of us so that it can be taken away. It's within us. It's in our souls. No man can take that away. No man can reach into your soul and take away that joy. The joy that we have as Christian people, it's permanent. It's secure. It's not an insecure, fleeting joy that this world knows. Happiness, true happiness, can only come when we make the Lord our God, when we trust in Him. It's obvious when we think about it. But dear friends, time is running on. Let me speak to you about something specific that is the foundation of our joy as Christian people. There is something specific about a Christian's happiness. One of the tremendous aspects of a Christian's happiness is that he is loved by God. He is loved by God. Of course, you can't have true happiness without love. And that's the key to Christian happiness. When you repent, when you have faith in Christ, when you follow the way of God, well, you have entered into a loving relationship with Him. It's not simple religion. It's a relationship with God. A loving relationship, and it's the best relationship. It's not like the relationships of this world. The relationships of this world, well, they can be so fickle. People fall in and out of love all the time. The relationships of this world are so insecure, and many relationships don't last. Why is that? Well, people are not taught anymore what a good relationship is. What's a good relationship? A good relationship is not based simply on how well you get along, or on your shared interests, or your age, similar ages, your looks. That's not what's important. That helps. But that's not what's important. That's not the secret to a lasting relationship. The secret to a lasting relationship, a strong relationship, is how well can you bear with one another's faults? How well can you bear with one another's sins? We all have faults, dear friends. We can all say things and do things that irritate others. We all have bad habits. We can all be selfish. We can all be mean. We can all manipulate one another. We can all be unkind. We are sinners. That's what the Bible teaches us. We're not angels. We're sinners. And so the key to a good relationship, how well can you bear with one another's sins? How well can you bear? That's the key to a secret relationship, to a good relationship. But you see, this is why we have true happiness in that relationship with God. God can bear our sins. Every Christian knows that even though he is a sinner, he is loved by God. God can bear our sins. Indeed, Christ did literally bear our sins. Christ, who is God, the incarnate God, on the cross at Calvary, he literally did bear our sins. He died for our sins out of love for his people. He died for our sins. Our relationships, we can't even bear a single sin from one another. But Christ, the eternal God, he died, he shed his blood for our sins. That's how we know we are loved by God. That's how we know it. He took the place for us, our substitute. We deserve to be punished for our sin. But God the Son said to God the Father, Lord, punish me instead of them, that they may be forgiven. That's a loving relationship. That's an eternal relationship. Because of what Christ has done, we know that we have everlasting love. We know that we have eternity. We know that we are secure. This is a true relationship of happiness. So this is why David says, happy is that people who is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Dear friends, is this going to be the case for you? Is this year going to be a happy year for you? We say it constantly to one another. Happy New Year. But have you ever actually had a happy year all the way through, not just January the 1st? Have you ever actually had a happy year? You can't have a happy year without God. You can't. Don't look at the world and think, oh, well, they look happy. People without God look happy. Dear friends, yes, people look happy. They put all their photos on Instagram and Facebook. They look so happy. But if you could see in themselves, in their souls, their hearts, they're not happy. You see, our souls desire true happiness. There's a great emptiness without God. Because our soul desires true happiness, and that can only come from a relationship with God. Our souls, our very souls, cry out for God because it wants to know true happiness, not the empty happiness that this world can give. Are you going to give your soul that happiness? Are you going to come to Christ to know true happiness and blessing? Dear friends, you must. Don't resist God. All you're doing, if you resist God, you're resisting happiness. Happiness. That's insanity, dear friends. Well, this is the message for this new year. You know, sometimes they do those surveys, don't they, about what is the happiest nation you could live in. They do a survey of all the countries around the world and they say, which is the happiest place? And it seems to change from year to year. Some people say New Zealand. Some people say Canada. Some people say the Scandinavian countries. You can forget all about that, dear friends. The happiest people in this world are the citizens of the kingdom of God. Those who have entered into that everlasting kingdom, they're the happiest people in this world, and it will extend beyond this world into eternity. They're the happiest people. because their joys no man can take away from them. Those who know Christ as their Lord and Saviour, those who have repented, those who have faith, those who know they are loved by God, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Come to Christ. Why would you turn away and refuse happiness? Come even this day and be greatly blessed. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank thee for this good news. This good news that brings happiness to every soul that believes that Christ Jesus came and bore our sins and suffered and died that we may be forgiven and bless us with his everlasting love. Lord, why would we deprive ourselves of true happiness and attempt to live off the futile and fleeting happiness of this vain and empty world? Oh Lord, may it not be said of any one of us that we are so foolish, that we are so insane enough to turn away this glorious invitation for the wickedness and emptiness of this world. Have mercy upon any who do, but Lord, gather us each and every one. Help us not to resist any longer, but to fall before the cross and to enter into eternal peace and love and joy. Bless us, we pray. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.